We made this curve here, and then the outcome is that we get a model where, and this is also in Fronter, this thick curve is the result. So the thin curve going up would be in an ideal world where you can neglect security, nothing happens. The curve below is the situation where there is security, but you have neglected it and you were hit. And the curve in between will be one where you are proactively investing on security. So it shows that it is basically reflecting the question of the solution architect. If you were doing this in a professional way with professional data and so on, the model will be more complex. And then I guess that the organization would like to understand return on investment. So how much does it cost to invest proactively in security? How much does it return in terms of investment, in terms of more growth or whatever? So this is very simplified, but again, what I wanted to do were two things. On the one hand, exemplify that the transition from an archetype to a model that can be simulated requires more data, more thinking, more detail. And also I said, even if I am inventing things, I told you in the practice you will do that by a process of requiring that the client, the one that is asking you to conduct, to develop the model, gives you access to data. In the worst case, that you discuss with people in the enterprise who know well about the things, about how to express things with the best assumptions. And that was the one thing. The other thing is that I wanted to exemplify that you will, in practice, need numerical functions, table functions, when there is no theory that gives you a mathematical form such things, then you relate to empirical findings. They connect two variables, some input to some output, according to some experience, some measurements, some metrics, whatever. Okay. Then you can see about the security. In the problem archetype, security will anyhow decrease. In the solution archetype, you are able to keep security at a satisfactory level, and so on. But I got an interesting question in between, in the break, which I would like to discuss with all of you. So, and that is the following. We have here an archetype, and there is a direct connection influence investment to throughput, and throughput investment, and then throughput influences security, security influences throughput. But then when we made the model, then we were kind of forced by the logic of the model, here, let's say slide 15, 12, I think. We were forced to depict the influence from security on the investment and from that to throughput. And yes, it is like this because throughput is a stock and we cannot put a direct link from security level to throughput. It has to go to the flow, which means that this was a bit too simple. So in the real model, it turned out that security is influencing throughput via investment, which then influences throughput. So it's a bit more messy, and also there are more feedback loops. In the moment in that you are creating a stock and flow model with so many links, you have more than these two feedback loops in a problem archetype. So a problem archetype is a point of departure. And sometimes it is a good simplification of the stock and flow model. Sometimes the stock and flow model forces you to some slightly different loops. But still, you have the reinforcing loop, focus on growth, and the balancing loop, securing the shadow, only that it goes a bit differently. So, archetypes and causal loop diagrams, they serve to get started, to communicate, to discuss things, and to simplify the communication at the end of what you found, but they shouldn't be taken too literally. That was one of the things that I wanted to say. The other thing is that there was a conversation also with the students here that are present as to the realization of a model for an out-of-control archetype. And we have had examination projects before using that, and very briefly I could show you, but I think we can have it as an exercise next time. Let me see if I find that. I don't remember whether we had it here. Projects 2015. No, it wasn't here. So let me see. Yes. Failed to read that. Then seems a bit capricious. I'm not sure which one to choose, since I had so many versions, but let's see. Yeah. Yes. So here you see you remember the ATM case that you had as one, I think it was the first project that you had in the previous course. So, burden of proof on the customer, burden of proof on the bank. So here you have the case of burden of proof on the customers. And you have here the security of the ITMs, and you have here frauds being committed by customers or by crooks. And here you have the effect of the burden of proof on customer, and so on. So here you have the balancing loop, customer is liable, where you see the fraud and the burden of proof. And then you have a reinforcing one, which goes like this, that influences determines investments on security and how that's related to the fraud rate. So maybe we can come back to this in terms of project. On the other hand, I remember that after doing the project, I came on the idea that it was another a bit nicer way of modeling this. So I opted later for a different model. So I have to check it that I am still satisfied with that to give you that as an exercise, or maybe I can't invent another exercise. Okay, so yes, so now we can start with the last part of today. So I would like you to start thinking of this exercise that you will do. So start preparing yourself. Then I will be monitoring you together with Benjamin, with Constantine. So here is Constantine. Welcome. So, Constantine, we have just started. I have said that we will now finish today. We're doing the exercises. And maybe what I am not so sure is as to now, it is recording, it will be recording until 4 o'clock. And maybe I could program. No, it's a big problem because now it's taken that. Perhaps we finish the recording at 4 o'clock anyhow. And then in the last hour, it depends as to how far you come. Or maybe I can still program a recording. Let me see. The question is, do you want to make a break afterwards or do you want to continue and then stop as soon as you finish with the exercises? What do you prefer? You continue. Okay. Then I will return to schedule list and I am going to make a new recording. And then I assume that this will start at 16:01. You have a break of 1 minute. And this is IMT, first class. Six, and it is the course IMT. And it is me. And we make it only 30 minutes or 29 minutes. So you can finish at 4:30. Okay, so back to the exercises. So the first exercise is modeling a computer incident response team, abbreviated CISRT. And there are different types of CISRTs. We will have some lectures on that later. But the one we are thinking now is one that has different clients. They are called in language of CISRTs constituents. And there are clients that outsource incident response to the CISRT. Where they are handling means that an incident is reported, it's analyzed, resolved, then feedback is given to to the ancient owner, but also to the others who subscribe to the CSETs, to the constituents, for preventing similar future incidents. And CSETs are under very strong pressure to improve their performance, so they have to set up a higher desired value for performance. And here the task is to adapt this model for a CSET case. And the only thing you have to do is to take the model that we had this morning, look at it, and change some names so that it is a CSET name. So that will be the first exercise. I am going to tell you about all, so you can start with number one and two and so, and then we continue. In the two, it's still a CSET. But now, as I said in the previous hour, since you have feedback loops and some of the feedback loops in the model are circular definitions, you need to put in stocks, or you have to figure out how many in which ones. So every feedback loop must involve at least one stock. That doesn't mean, because we have, I think, four feedback loops, that you need four stocks. The point is to have stops that every feedback loop goes through one of the stocks. And you have to think which of the variables in the model, the Repenius thermal model, once you make it to a CSERT, is must be a stock. And then there will be a third exercise, which we can take a bit later. Or actually, I can point out here, and that's ask you to create a model to allocate the time resources. So then, let's start with this one. And this should be a simple exercise. It shouldn't take much time. Yeah? Well, yes, I have it. But it is very quickly done. You can create it yourself, but make it think CSERTs immediately. Because, so every time you are putting a variable there, then give it a name that makes it clear that you are speaking about a CSERT. So some of the variables will be the same, but some others should be make this. So the question is, as to this first step, you don't need to add more stocks. Yes, the same model as Repenning and Sturman, but the name of some variables, not many, should be slightly different so that you can communicate this as a CSET model. So let's try to do that until quarter past, and then later you could just draw things here, unless you will project yourself, but that's also possible. Ibiza, obviously. So now I am going to close down, and Konstantin will connect his computer so that he can show the solutions.
Okay, so this is the model you had in the lecture, and your task was to adapt it towards C-certs. Actually, I guess you don't need to modify the equations, because we would prefer to leave the structure as it is. And yeah, so can you give some suggestions? What variable should be remained here? Yes. Okay, might be. So the idea was the variable at the bottom, pressure to improve capability, to rename it towards pressure to improve performance. Okay, any other changes? If you do that, you would have to alter the structure of the model. So it's better to still have it as a capability. But the structure of C-certs model, it should be the same. So just think in terms which variables that are here can be renamed in a way that it's directly related to C-certs. Yes? Okay, totally correct. Okay, so now I will show you the solution. It incorporates all of the things that you said. So this is the kind of exercise where you don't have one defined solution. There can be many ways how to do that. So this is the way Jose designed this model. Yes. Okay, so now it's time for the second exercise, and you should still have the model that you developed in the previous exercise, but the challenge now is to introduce some more stock variables. And of course, in case you introduce stock variables, you would also have to introduce some flows like outflows or inflows. So, as Jose told, normally you need stock variables in order to describe some process of accumulation of some items, and also to have some delays in your system so that you don't end up with a circular definition of variables. So the task now, you take the model developed in the previous exercise and go through all of the variables and think which variables can be now not as the usual variables but as a stock variables, and of course that would mean changing a structure a little bit. So in case you would like to introduce some inflows or outflows, perhaps you would need some, well, I would say need to remove few variables and instead of them add few variables. But the first step to start is to define which item in this model should be represented as a stock and flow. So here, if you go through all of the model, you have... okay, I will again show you the solution from the previous exercise in order not to reveal the solution from this exercise. So if you go through this model, you can see that you have a domain here of C-sort's capability. It's represented by stock and inflow and outflow. Then you also have here a domain of time spent on improvement and time spent on incident response. Then you also have domain of pressure to handle incidents, pressure to improve capability, and it's very tightly connected with performance. The domain of performance is located here. So spend a few minutes thinking where can you introduce stock in this structure. When I say stock, it doesn't mean that there is just one stock, maybe there are a few. Yes, and when we are introducing stocks and flows here, we still try to save the structure of feedback loops so that all of the feedback loops that you see on the screen now should remain in the version with stocks. Yes? Yes, yes. Yes. Okay, so your question is a little bit like guessing, but I would start from the other point. It's completely normal for few feedback loops to share one stock because they can come from different sites. And just think firstly, which domain needs stocks here? Okay, so that you don't struggle too long, can someone of you come here to the blackboard? I will help. It won't be too difficult. Okay, so what I would like you to do, let's try to draw different types of stock and flow structures that you know. So we can start from the simplest one, where you can have one inflow and one stock. And I would like you now to draw a few more structures, so that afterwards we can take a look at the structures and think which one might be appropriate for our exercise. Because what I'm afraid a little bit that the solution to this exercise, you have perhaps not seen yet such a structure of stocks and flows. We don't now think specifically what is this flow or what is this stock, what kind of variables there are. We are just trying to draw. Yeah, of course we can have one outflow. Okay, yeah, good. No, let's not include causal loops. Okay, any more structures? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, right. Can you picture that? When the stock has no outflows but has two inflows. Normally we just paint it, yes, from both ways. Okay, all these structures had in common that the flow, either inflow or outflow, emerges from something that's outside the system. Something that's outside the system with a node by cloud. And now think of the structure where we focus on this system so that we don't have anything coming from outside. Let's say when our system is a closed system that don't have anything going out or anything coming in. Yes. And the last one I would suggest to draw. Can you think of a process that might go in both directions? So if there is something that